I don't even know where to start, really. I don't like giving my testimony. I just feel like, wow, if I'm going to tell you my testimony, I want to hear all your testimony as well. It's not fair. But, yeah, I grew up. I was born, first thing. That's what happens, usually. Well, every time, really. That's what happens. I was born, and, when I was 5 years old, the first major thing that happened, actually my dad was an alcoholic, and so, Lee's my stepdad, by the way. So my mum and my stepdad, they got married when I was 12, was that 12, 11, 12? And, but before that, you're going to hear that Lee was an alcoholic, but before that my mum had the pleasure of marrying another alcoholic, so she's had two. She's been married to two alcoholics. So the first one was my dad. And he was, just a loser, do you know what I mean? Just drink, couldn't keep a job down. Abusive to my mum. Not physically, but, you know, emotionally. Cheated on my mum. Just a loser, do you know what I mean? Not a Christian, didn't care, do you know what I mean? Didn't care about anything, just living his own life, and as people do, you know what I mean? And so I grew up without my dad, really being there at home. And even though we used to see him at the weekends, it still was a very weird relationship. It wasn't like a close relationship that we had, you know what I mean? So, and I guess people say, you know, psychiatrists and all that, if you grow up without your dad, then you want, it's like you're missing something, you're missing the male role model in your life, which is what you need. And so a lot of people, you know, psychiatrists, they'll blame that, that's why you were a naughty kid, because you didn't have a dad at home. I don't know, I just think it's because I was a sinner. I was born a sinner, I just think that's why I was a naughty boy, do you know what I mean? Because I was a sinner. I wanted to sin, I loved my sin, do you know what I mean? But, so, you know, I started off just being, I was just a normal kid, just getting into trouble at school, just for mucking about, having a laugh, having a joke. And I think when I was 12, I first tried weed. And I didn't really touch it again, but really I got heavily into just smoking weed when I was about 14. Started smoking it every day before I went into school. At school, after school, and then at night time, and just doing that for a while. And I started to get a bit more aggressive, a bit more angry, a bit more mean, and a bit more darker than just like mucking about, having a laugh. It was now a bit more serious. Ended up getting kicked out of school, ended up getting kicked out of home, and so I went to a foster home. And then while I was at the foster home, my mate's mum actually said to me, why are you living there? It was miles away. It was like a 45-minute drive from all my friends, my school, and the area that I lived in. My mate's mum was like, why don't you just come live with us instead of living all the way out there? So I was like, yeah, that sounds good. So I went and lived with my mate's mum, and she ended up being a drug dealer. And so I was exposed to like... that, so people coming in and out of the house every day buying drugs, and he had three little brothers, so getting in with them, and then all the people that came through, so just got to know people in the area and in that scene, because before I was very naive, though I'd get into fights and do all that kind of stuff, I was still naive, I was just a little boy, but there really started to like grow up into the like, into that mentality, and I was really molded and shaped during that time into the person that I became. And so, I think this has gone off, has it? You can hear me anyway, yeah? Is anyone deaf? Well, you wouldn't hear what I said, would you? You wouldn't be able to answer the question. But, so basically, I just started to learn more about the drug game, and when I was 17, I moved out of there, I got my own flat, and I started to sell drugs, started to sell weed, and started to sell coke, and started to sell pills, and started to take all those drugs, And do you know what I mean? I was a bad drug dealer because I never made any money. Do you know what I mean? They say the first rule of drug dealing is, you know, don't get high on your own supply. So I'd already lost that one because I love getting high. So on my own supply. So I couldn't make any money. So I failed at that, and there was a motto that was going round the world at the time as well, and it was get rich or die trying. And that was like a motto that was like going around the world, and it was like I just wanted to get rich or die trying. Like, all I wanted to do was get rich. Basically, most sins that I was committing, most of the things I was doing, it was just because I wanted to get rich, or because I was angry that I wasn't rich. Because that's just what I wanted, that's what I craved for. And if you're here, you're not a Christian, that's probably you as well. You think that all your problems will be solved if you could be rich. And maybe even you're a Christian and you think, I really want to be rich. But money won't satisfy you. I don't know that because I've not had any money, but I know people who've had money and they say that, so it's not coming from first hand experience. And actually, Britney Spears had loads of money, and I remember seeing pictures of her with a shaven head running around the streets smashing some car up because her kids got taken off her and she wasn't allowed custody of her own children. Yet she's worth millions, so she wasn't very happy. So money can't buy you happiness. But I didn't know that, because that's all the world teaches us, that money will solve everything. And TV feeds me that every day. The radio feeds me that every day. Music feeds me that every day. Films feed me that every time I watch one. All you need is money and everything will be okay. If you have a nice car, your life will be cushy. If you have a big house, and you can, and you don't have to, the least you can work, and the more you can just relax and just have money, the happier you'll be. Well, actually, no, because if you don't have God, then you don't have anything. So you can have all the money in the world and you're still poor, because you don't have Jesus, and you actually weren't made for money, you were made for God. But I didn't know that. You know, I thought I was made for me, so my pleasures. That's why I took drugs, because it was pleasurable. You know, it felt good to take drugs. It felt good. It got me high. Do you know what I mean? I didn't actually worry. But when I was high, I didn't worry about money. I didn't care because I was high. Do you know what I mean? So it got my mind off money. It's like, yeah, I'm high. Who cares? I'll just do something crazy, smash some windows, or you know, whatever. But basically, just to escape from the reality that actually I'm broke, I'm poor. Do you know what I mean? I live in this dirty flat. Do you know what I mean? I ain't got any toilet paper. Like, I have to use a newspaper to wipe my bum. Do you know what I mean? That's because I'm broke. Do you know what I mean? That's how broke I am. And other things I won't even tell you, it's embarrassing. I remember having no toothpaste for about 2-3 months and not even being able to brush my teeth for like 3 months. And then not wanting to smile in front of people because I wanted to talk with my mouth closed as much as I could because I didn't want people to see my teeth. That's how broke I was. And basically my own fault anyway. I'd see thousands of pounds every week. It wasn't mine. It was my drug dealer's money. So I just had to give him all the money. And because I was taking it all. And basically, yeah, like I was coming to that place where I was realizing, you know, that actually, this ain't happening. I'm not going to get rich. Started to sink in. Yeah, probably not going to get rich selling drugs. Not very good at this. After a couple of years, yeah. Yeah, not. The biggest thing I've bought is a pair of trousers. Not a very good drug dealer. So I started to sink in and was like, yeah, I can't get a job unless it's at a factory packing pies into boxes. Yeah, not going to get rich doing that either. Hollywood ain't coming round my estate looking for people to star in the next big film, so I don't think that'll happen either. I can't run for longer than 5 minutes, so I don't think I'll be a football player or a sports star. don't think all these ways that I could get rich, actually I realised I'm not going to get rich. I can't get rich. And I started to think to myself, you know what, like, so what's the point in life then? If the point in life is getting rich, and I'm not even doing that, I'm not even making it, I'm not going to be able to make my dream. And so I thought, so what's the point in living then? What's the point? What am I going to do? Like, and to be honest, suicide did cross my mind, but then I just thought, you know, but if I commit suicide, then I'm actually giving in to admitting that I'm a failure, and I'm so much of a failure that I don't want to admit that I'm a failure by killing myself. So I want to try a bit longer, try something else. So, you know, I just, life went on like that, and it was, that's the state that I was in when I was walking through a grocery shop, a shop in like a food place, and there was a song that came on, and in the chorus the song said, heaven. Completely secular song, haven't found it to this day. I've tried to find it, can't find the song. It's like a dance song, and the woman sang heaven in the chorus. And in that moment, I just knew I wasn't going to heaven. I just knew I wasn't going to heaven. And something clicked. And my granddad were missionaries in Africa, and my mum was raised a Christian, but she raised us as atheists. She didn't believe in God, but she became a Christian when I was 14, and so had Lee. And you know, they've been telling me about God, and I knew the story. Do you know what I mean? Jesus died on a cross, and if you believe in him, you'd be forgiven. Do you know what I mean? I knew that story. I didn't know the ins and outs of it. Do you know what I mean? I didn't know what propitiation meant, or like substitutionary atonement. I didn't know any of those words, but I just knew, well, Jesus died for you know, sinners, and I'm a sinner, do you know what I mean? And if I believe in him, I can have forgiveness. And the main thing that stuck out to me actually was this, is I can have a new life. I can have a new life. And that's what was running around my head, is like, I can get a new life. And I thought this, if God's real, and in that moment he was real, do you know what I mean? He became real to me. So when I heard that chorus, God was real now. So it was like, you're real, and I'm not going to heaven because I'm not right with you, do you know what I mean? I'm over here, I'm sinning, doing my thing, and I know that I'm not close to you because There's something that needs to happen for me to be right with you. And you know, in that moment I just realized that I just need Jesus, and that actually life's not about money. But if God's real, then life is about him. Life is about him. If he's real, if God's real, life is about God. So I thought, I can have a new life, and it can all be about God, and I can be forgiven of my sin. I didn't know how that would happen, you know what I mean? I didn't know anything about it. All I knew is, all I have to do is believe. And I was out of belief. And so, I don't know if I became a Christian in the shop. You know, I didn't say a prayer. I didn't read any bit of the Bible. I don't know. Like, all I know is that's what went through my head. And so, but, you know, I went to my auntie's, and she had a little deal with my mum going on, because my mum moved to Australia. So for 3 years I was in England without, and my mum wasn't there. And so my mum had a deal with my auntie that my auntie would like try and preach the gospel to me. These women are crafty, man, I'm saying. And, so she had a little deal going on, like, yeah, try and, you know, well, she said to my mum, I'll try and preach the gospel to him. And so she tried, and she used to invite me round for dinner. She cooked me a big Sunday lunch, you know, fattened me up, and then she'd be like, you want to come to church? And I'd be like, nah, I'm all right, thanks, bye. And, but then, when I heard that song, in the co-op, I went outside and I rang her up and I said, can I come your Sunday for dinner? Really, because I want to go to the church, I mean. But I didn't tell her that. But I knew that she would ask me. A funny story is on a Saturday night, so all that week I was still smoking weed, selling weed, sniffing coke, getting drunk, and the Saturday night, I remember I got absolutely wasted. I lost my key to my flat. And so I ended up having to stay at my friend's house. And so I'm staying at my friend's house, and I woke up, and it was like 10:15, and she was meeting me at 10:30. So I walked down, 10:30, she's not there. And I'm like, where is she? 10:45, she's not here. 11, she's not here. I'm just like, oh, forget it then. That's it, like, forget it. And so I walk off, and I think I got something to eat. I think I sold some guy some weed that I've seen. And then, but actually, that's it. I was going to go back to my flat, but I didn't have my key. Yeah? So, on any other day, when I waited for her, I would have just gone back to my flat. But I didn't have my key. I didn't want to go back to my mate's house because his little sisters had got up and they were like in the living room and they were like 11 and they were like sitting in the living room and I was like coming down off drugs and I was like, and they were watching these weird cartoons which, you know, if you take drugs and you watch kids' cartoons, it just flipping mashes your head. It's like taking drugs all over again. It's horrible. And I hate watching kids' programs. Reminds me of drugs. And I swear the people who write these cartoons, they're on drugs or something. Like, honestly, I don't know. But anyway, so I would have gone back to his house, but his sisters were up and that. And so that's why I really walked around just wasting time. I didn't really want to do anything. I didn't know anyone was out. There was one guy out, sold him a bit of weed, had a spliff with him, and walking around like, I'll go back to Mike's house now. Because hopefully he'll be up. It's nearly 11:30. So I'm walking around the corner, and my auntie's there at the co-op. And so I'm like, oh wow, are you here? Like, what's going on? How come you're late and that? And she's like, I'm not late. The clocks went back or forward. Why is it back? Forward. Forward. Back. I still don't know. I took too many drugs in my life. So the clocks went forward or back. And then anyway, so I met her. And then she took me back to her house. And she gave me some food. And then, going along with the protocol, she asked me to go to church. And I was like, yeah, go on then. Yeah, but I wanted to go to church, you know. And then when I was at the church, I heard a guy speak about Jesus. And honestly, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. One, he was Irish. You ever tried to hear an Irishman talk? I was like, what? But I heard certain things like, Jesus, died, believe in him. That's all that. Heard those kind of things. I heard other things like redemption and propitiation, which actually, when you're a Christian, you understand those words. But actually, when you're not a Christian, you hear those words, they're actually really like confusing. That you're just like, what is this guy talking about? What is redemption? Like, what is sacrifice? So you'd be surprised. I was just like, what? But I got the general gist of the message. Believe in Jesus Christ. He died on a cross, you can be forgiven of your sin. And he was actually an ex-terrorist. So he'd been like, he worked for the UVF, he was in May's prison for 20 years. He used to blow Catholics up and, burn them out of their houses. And, I think the Catholics are wrong, but that's taking it a bit too far. So I thought, God gave him a new life. Do you know what I mean? Then he can give me a new life. and it actually works in a way. Well, I'm seeing the proof, you know what I mean? This guy, God's changed his life. And so, and he was talking about God as though he knew him. And I was like, I want to know God, man. And anyway, so he got me into a Christian rehab. That's a long story how I got there, because I never would have gone to a rehab. But the Christian pastor tricked me. These Christian pastors, man. Tricking me. No, so I went into this rehab, and I read this book called The Cross and the Switchblade, book by David Wilkerson, about him going and preaching to these guys. And just what grabbed me is like, this guy knows God. This guy was reading this book, I was like, this guy knows God. And he was talking about the Bible and how like God's speaking to him through the Bible. And I was like, I want God to speak to me through the Bible. Like, I want to hear God speak to me. I want to know God like this man knows God. I want things to happen to me like happening to this man. And so I was like, right, I need to read the Bible then. And so I started in Genesis, and I went Genesis to Revelation in like 2 months, and just read the whole Bible. And through that, you know, God just started to change my life. God started to just work on me. And like, you know, there's no specific point, but just I knew I was in a relationship with Jesus Christ, like God himself. You know, he'd save me. You know, I knew I was forgiven. You know what I mean? I knew that it didn't matter what sins I committed, that they were all, that Jesus died for them, that he died for them, and that he'd rose from the grave. Do you know what I mean? That he was victorious over my sin and over the hold that it had on me. And I wasn't going to hell, I was going to heaven to be with Jesus. You know what I mean? My king forever. And so I was just like, I was just changed. And ever since then, you know, I've been changed and changed and changed more. Like I said to you, I'm still a sinner. You know, I'm still wrestling with the flesh. Do you know what I mean? I still have, you know, sinful desires that I have to put to death every day. And, you know, God is helping me. But the biggest, that's what I'm saying, like, I hate my sin. I hate it when I sin now, because I know that it grieves Jesus, you know, it grieves God, and that Jesus died for that. So yeah, that's my story, how I became a Christian, and hope it encourages you. And, you know, most people here are Christian, right? So we'll talk Christian to Christian. Like, I heard an interesting like sermon last week, and he was talking about, he was at the subway with this pastor was at the subway with this other guy, and the other guy, there was all these people coming out of this underground subway, and you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. And what the guy was like to the pastor, he's like, yeah, you know what, like, God's just calling me to like stand here with a sign, you know, just saying like, if you want to hear about God, you know, ask me some questions, you know, I just feel like there's all these people and I just need to tell them about Jesus. And the pastor was like, yeah, you do that, do you know what I mean, you do that. And he's like, I wouldn't want to tell him not to do it, like, if God's calling you to do that, oh man, do it. But he said this, he said, but you know what saddens me is the fact that nearly every one of these people coming out of the train, at the subway, they probably work with Christians. Yeah? There's probably someone in their workplace who is already a Christian. And the thing is just that Christian is not stepping up to the plate and just all it's easy. You just open your mouth and you just talk to a non-Christian and say, hi, my name's Dave. What's your name? And you build a relationship with him and you can tell him about Jesus. Do you know what I mean? And praise God for people who want to stand up and tell people about Jesus at a subway. But all those people should have been told about Jesus anyway. You know, because, and it's the thing, it's like, it's not that I'm an evangelist, like, you know,
we should all be evangelists, yeah? Not in the, not that we're all like, I don't know, like, as Paul says, like, some are called to be evangelists, some are called to be prophets, teachers, pastors, apostles. So that's that, but then he tells Timothy, like, do the work of an evangelist. I don't know, but I think he's telling Timothy, yeah, you're not an evangelist in that sense, like, you're not called to be an evangelist, like, full time, and like, but do the work of an evangelist, like, do it though, you know what I mean? I think that's right. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I get the feeling that he's saying, like, yeah, you're not called to be an evangelist in a sense that you're not called to go out on the street and preach, and maybe you won't do that full time, but do the work of an evangelist. And I think every Christian should be doing the work of an evangelist. So please, I'm not saying that you're doing this, but don't leave it to events like this where you say, oh yeah, we'll just get the professional in. Not that I'm professional, I'm really not. But like, we'll just get someone else in to do our work for us. And that's really one of the reasons why I said at the start, I hate giving my testimony. Because I feel like people are trying to get me to do their job. It's not my job to tell your friends about Jesus. That's your job. It ain't my job. You should be telling your friends about Jesus. And so, I just want to encourage you. I don't want to condemn you, do you know what I mean? If you're not telling your friends about Jesus. But I'm saying, like, you can. I have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm not better at this than you. Like, we've got the same Spirit. Like, God will give you the words to say in that time. Now, you might not know what to say, but He's going to give you the words to say. So, yeah, just to encourage us. And, yeah, really, just, that's it. That's me. So, God bless you guys. Thanks for having me.